We're in 1 Peter chapter 5. You said, I thought we'd never get here. We're not going to finish off. We're not going to finish off chapter 5 this week. I think we will next week, though. I'm about 80% sure we will. Okay, especially if this goes as well as I'm hoping it will go. I'm hoping to get all the way to the first 6 verses. And I will read them. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be in subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, that's a lot. You say it's only a few verses. Yeah, but there's a lot of ideas there. The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also an elder. If Peter's a pope, he doesn't know it. He thinks he's an elder, and I agree with him. Can you imagine him wearing that big, tall hat? Kiss my ring. Come on. People be kissing his ring. Finally, finally, people understand who I am. You know, finally. No, I can't picture it. He's an elder, and I know something about being an elder. So and there's a lot in the scripture about elder. We're not going to talk about the qualifications, really. We did. We were in 1 Timothy, and we talked about the qualifications for an elder, and we were in Titus, and we talked for the qualifications of an elder. And I know some of you guys are interested in that sort of thing. You would like to be an elder. I'd just say you go back and listen to those teachings. They're available online, ccofkv.org. You can download them. You can stream them. You can listen to them. You can take notes. I think it would be a real blessing to you, not because I'm such a dynamic teacher so much as I think we just covered what it takes to be a biblical elder. Now, you're saying, well, I'm not, so I'm going to nap out, okay? I'm just going to wake me up when the service is over. When I hear music again, I'll check back in. No, you're the elder of your house, mister. And ladies, you know, I will tell you this, too. You're the de facto elder in, you're helping your husband be an elder. I think in terms of, like, elder teams, like, we don't really do that, like, oh, I don't know how to say this right. My wife is my wife. She doesn't have a position in the church. She's the pastor's wife. She's not on staff. As a matter of fact, nobody's on staff. She's not a hireling. She's just my wife. Now, I couldn't do it without her, but it's not like, you know, people say, okay, this and this and this is what a pastor's wife's supposed to be. There's no biblical anything for a pastor's wife. There's nothing really for an elder's wife. Now, generally, guys who are elders have elder-type wives. If you're an elder and you've instilled that spirituality in your wife, I know that sounds really condescending. I don't mean it to be. I mean, I really, really don't mean it to be. I just know that the type of guys who I look up to, who I'm trying to like make my life to be like, who I'm trying to emulate, they have wives who are really, generally, very spiritual, very godly women. Generally, can a guy be an elder? Can a guy be love the Lord, serve the Lord, be in a capacity in the leadership, and his wife be like not even saved? Yeah, possibly. But like I've seen it more times than not, God will bless that man with his wife will come along beside in a very godly way. And if truth be told, I've said this about 107 times. This will be 108. Generally, women are more spiritual than men, generally. Most churches I've ever been in are made up mostly of women. I'd like to see just young boys who shave just filling our all our chairs here so we can minister to them because they're the problem. But what is it? What is it generally? When you go to a church, what is it? There's a plethora of women. There's a few guys. Why? Because three things keep us from getting saved. One, we don't know. Well, guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, men and women are on equal footing as far as not knowing, you know, by and large. The other thing that will stop us is sin. I know what you're saying. I hear, I understand, I choose sin. And I would say that men and women are on equal footing as far as being sinners. Sorry, I just threw you all under the bus, but I threw you all under the bus equally, okay? So I'm not playing any favorites. Now, the other thing that keeps a person being saved is pride. I will not bow. I will not submit. Guys, you know I'm talking to you guys, my hairy-faced friends. We have a bigger problem with that than our female counterparts do. It is so. I've lived a long time. I've observed it. It is so. And that's where the problem comes. That's why the churches are dominated by women. I don't mean dominated. I didn't mean that as a pejorative. I mean there's more of them than there are of us, by and large. So when I look at an elder, I generally say his wife's generally something too, spiritually speaking. But it doesn't have to be. I don't even know how I got off on that. The elders which are among you, I exhort. I'm also an elder, okay? What has happened in America, what has happened worldwide, I think it's deplorable. Okay? I mean, we joke about being... Me and Brownie have this thing going. You know, I call him Reverend Brownie. He calls me the Right Reverend Casper Zach, and then I call him his grand exalted, and he calls me, you know, your worshipfulness. And we go back and forth with this stuff. Because we're two nitwits and we got nothing better to do with our time, I guess. But I started it, okay? He's just better at it. I'll tell you that right now. He does a better job. Now, but it's funny. Well, it is to me. If somebody, like, you know, people call me, you call me on the phone, are you Reverend Casper Zach? I'm thinking like, okay, that guy's never heard me teach the Bible at all. I know what he's looking for, so I'll answer the affirmative something. I'm not a title guy. You know, you say, well, what should I call you? Well, Adam, it's probably all right. Now, you don't want, some of you people, I've heard this, you don't want your children to call me on a first name basis. Okay. Mr. K. Pastor. Pastor's okay. I don't mind that. But I don't, especially with children, that's fine. I think kids need to, you know, but as far as like, you know, a difference between you and me, Like a title. I just don't like titles. I just don't think it's not a good idea. I'm the same as you. I've got a job to do. That's all. Okay? Am I holier? That's ridiculous. Am I more sanctified? Do I get cuts in the line to heaven? None of that stuff. That's silly. I'm just an elder. He says, I'm exhorting the elders. I'm also an elder. And I'm also a witness of the suffering of Christ. Well, that puts you in line ahead of everybody else. Hey, listen, do you know who I am? Peter says, I was on the Holy Mount. I'm the first one he called. Look at me, Peter says. Every time the apostles are listed, I'm listed first. Thumbs under the suspenders. I'm something else, Peter says. Do you see anything like that? I'm just an elder, like you guys. I like that. I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I'm also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I'm not first in line. I'm just, you know, like you guys. You know, I'm a witness of the sufferings, but I'm also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, here's my charge to you guys. Feed the flock of God. What does an elder do? Feeds the flock of God. Hey, we met Chuck Smith down at the East Coast Pastors Conference. I think he's a very humble man, by the way. He's got a focus. Feed the flock. Teach them the Bible. Guys were kind of acting, not our guys. They know better. Guys were acting kind of like he was some sort of stud, like he was like some sort of superstar, like he was like, you know, it was kind of hush. You know, Chuck walked into the building and was, oh, they're pointing at him and stuff like this. And I'm just thinking like this. Because I know people thinking, wow, Chuck Smith, wow. And I'm just thinking like, seen him before. Way back in the day, we used to go to Calvary Chapel out in there, out in Costa Mecca, you know. That's where Sue's got saved. I mean, I've seen Chuck Smith before, no big. And I think, like, because I know a lot of people thinking, there goes a great man. I don't think so. I don't think he'd like that. I think, there goes a man with a great God. That's what I thought. And I think he'd like that better. Now, he passed himself around. He was a very gracious man. He was very, like, you know, people come up with their Bible. Can you autograph my Bible for me? And, like, don't pull that stuff on me. I'd hit you with it. I'm not autograph guy. He's aware of his position. He's aware of how God has used him. So he's very gracious. He'll do stuff like that. He's very approachable. He's very humble. He ate breakfast with the guys. What was it, some cinnamon roll or something? He had half of that, and he didn't. I'm looking at Matt because Matt polished off the other half. He ate half. He said, "I don't want to throw this away. Anyone want to eat this?" And Matt said, "Yo, I'll eat it." You know, so he's like, "Oh, you know." So he's very approachable, very talk. But he wasn't like, you know, he's not Pope of Calvary Chapel. He's just not. He's like, he was the founding guy. He's one of God used and stuff. Calvary Chapel's a reflection on the man in that ministry. I mean, like, if you don't like Chuck's teaching, if you think he's all wet and he doesn't know what he's talking about, you shouldn't go to a Calvary Chapel. We're all kind of like, he's kind of like our spiritual, he's my pastor's pastor, so he's my grand pastor. You know, that's how I think about him, you know. And if I'm not of that ilk, I got to go to church somewhere else. But I'm getting off the topic. I really am. Feed the flock of God. That's what Chuck says. That was his commission to us was. He spoke and he says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to feed the flock of God. I'm like, I'm on board. Where do I sign up? Great, because that's where I am anyway. He got there first. He's an older man, but I'm here now. That's what I want to do. That's all I want to do. I'm a one-trick pony. Anyone ever heard me say that before? I say it all the time. I say it like I'm a broken record. I'm a one-trick pony. I want to feed the flock. This is my function. Well, I'm the pastor. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Got to do that. It says I got to do that. Do I like to do that? No. Can take the oversight, okay? What does this oversight look like? Not by constraint, but willingly. Oh, good. Whew. We asked people to do some stuff. I was talking a couple weeks ago, like, we need some help with kids' ministry. Did I come twist your arm? I won't. Why? This verse is not by constraint. I'll ask. Sometimes I'll ask somebody very personally, can you do this? I'll ask. And the answer can be no. What do I do then? I rang you. I nag you. No. I want people doing stuff willingly. We had the opportunity to minister in the jail. We had guys step right up. How can I help? Did I twist any? I didn't ask anybody. You know what I did? I got an email. I forwarded it. I forwarded it to Matt and Ron and Sue's maybe, because I generally plug her into what's going on. Not that she was going to go in jail and minister, a bad idea. But I forwarded, that's all I did. And then we had people jumping up. Yeah, how can I help? This is the verse that tells me. I want to take the oversight, but I'm not an arm twister. Listen, you stop coming here, I'll notice. I'm chasing you down. Cults do that. I'm going to do it. I'm not a constrained guy. It tells me right here. Now, people expect a lot of things from me. They expect me to be like, you're a pastor, you got to be the super leader. Listen, one-trick pony, teach the word. What don't I do? Everything else. You see the decorum here? The decorations, the decor. See the decor here? I didn't choose it. I didn't choose the carpet. See this stuff here? Didn't choose it. The TVs? Didn't choose them. The sound system, didn't choose it. Seats you're sitting in, didn't choose it. People come to me and say, well, you want this, you want that? We're building. Like a couple weeks ago, we had a work day, and people say, well, do you want me to do it? You want me to? Want? I don't. Go see him. Pointed at Tom, you know. He's got a plan. Let him do it. I don't want to be executive God in charge of your whole life. I don't. Have I been that? Passed it to you. We went to church and they said about that church, you can't get around the pastor. If we're buying a piano, he's going to be the head of the piano buying committee. Buying new hymnals, he's going to be the head of the hymnal buying committee. And everything's done by committee, which basically is a lot of people, pastor doing what pastor wants to do and everyone else rubber stamping that. What we do is we have elders here, plurality of them, okay? And I believe this is, if you have been to a church, if you're in a church, there's one guy in charge of everything, run. That's demonic. That's no good. How could that man stop from being a czar? It's set up for failure. Now, I'm going to talk about eldership a little bit, because I read a book back along. When I was first asked to be an elder, and I was probably in my early 30s, maybe 30 years old, in another church I went to, they asked me to be an elder, and he gave me a book on biblical eldership, and I read that, and it shaped a lot of the thinking, which when I came into Calvary Chapel, it didn't re-change that. It was kind of the same direction I was going anyway. The book was about plurality of elders, elders rule. Some churches have elders, a board of elders, and then they have the board. And those are two different, I don't know why. Elders rule, that's scriptural. Even Calvary Chapels have like a board and then they have elders besides. Some Calvary Chapels, I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a poor idea. So elders rule, so we don't have any business meetings, we know you don't ask you to, come and vote at business meetings, elders rule. Now, and hopefully well, and you can have input, you can say anything you want. That's fine. I listen to people. Sometimes it's piffle, just discardable, and sometimes it's, oh yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I never thought of that. We're not like czars, not a team of czars, okay? Now, having said elders, in the Old Testament, you got three types of people, three classes of people who are anointed by God to rule over his people, Israel. And it's about ruling, okay? You have the prophet, you have the priest, and you have the king. All of these people are anointed to be these. They're an anointing, pouring oil on somebody's head, is a picture of the Holy Spirit coming upon somebody for a certain function. Now, in the Old Testament, God did this thing. He didn't want just a king. He wanted a king who was subject to a prophet, who the prophet could speak into the king's life, but the king made the rules. And then they had priests who were the intermediaries between God and the people. And they had, so that's how God set it up in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, I think he set it up the same way. We have elders now, but elders have prophet, priest, and king function. You're saying, oh, Adam, that's a little heady. You think yourself as a king? No, I don't. I do think of myself as a leader. And this is how I've seen this. It was presented to me in this book, and I can almost go around and tell you, elder, this is how he is. He's got the prophet. He majors in prophet, he minors in priest, and he doesn't do king at all. This guy here, he majors in priest. He's got a minor in king, but he doesn't really do prophet at all. And what do I mean? The prophet is the one who, in the Old Testament, they spoke forth the word of God. We always think of it like in future, but they just spoke God's word forth. Sometimes it had a futuristic flavor to it. But all we're doing is saying, okay, this is what God says. And we see all through the King James Bible, thus saith the Lord. That's what the prophet did. This is what I'm doing now. I'm prophesying, not telling the future. I'm speaking forth the word of God. That's what I do. That's my function. That's my heart. That's my major as far as an elder. My minor is in priest. Now, what does priest do? Priest stands between people and God. They're the ones, and the elders who are priest elders, they're great. They're the ones in the nursing home. They're the ones who are in the hospitals. They're the ones who do, men and women priests can do, they're the ones, you know what we need in Sunday school for the little kids? We need priests. We need, you go love the kids. The major is priest. The minor is teaching the word of God. Don't just love them. Love them and show them God's word. They don't need prophet like you need prophet. You're ready to learn. You know what I mean? That's what we do here and stuff like this. Are you loved? Do I do that priest function? Yeah, but I don't do that like I do prophet. And now here's the third one, king. I don't do king at all. The teaching pastor of a church, I don't think he ever should have king function. That's my own. Now, this God builds us that way on purpose. He doesn't give us the whole shooting match because then I'm the be-all and end-all. I'm broken on purpose. I got a function, another thing I can do, and another thing I can't do at all. Now, if you're not paying attention to this, the thing that you can't do at all, that's the thing Satan will try to make you do, and you spend all your time doing something very bad. Saw it, been there, done that. Went to the church with the elder. He was priest elder. Okay? He loved people. He did like Awana. He loved children. He loved people. He was the nursing home guy. He was the you love him when he does funerals, when he goes and visits people one on one, when he had that. He could nail that. That was his function. That was his gift. He did prophecy. He didn't do as good as he did priest, frankly. He didn't do king at all. And that's what he spent most of his time trying to do poorly. And we had king guys who could do king very good. And the guy who couldn't do king at all was always trying to be the king. Now, this is the way it works at Calvary Chapel. I know your eyes are glazed over. You're saying, this is way too confusing. Stay with me because this really helps. And it'll help you understand who we are and what we do around here. I don't do king function at all. I'm broken by God on purpose not to do it. I don't want to be in control. What that means is I'm not trying to control everything. I'm not trying to control your life. Now, we need king guy or guys. These are guys who love, you know, they called me in a Calvary Chapel, said, take a day off, it's a Friday, Roger Wing is coming, you want to be here, it's to the senior pastors, he's going to teach us articles of incorporation, bylaws, you know, all that stuff that, and I'm thinking to myself, God in heaven help me, I'm gonna die during this meeting. This is going to be the 15 minutes in, I'm praying for death, okay? That's what I thought. I was wrong. 2 minutes in, I was praying for death. Lord, the rapture right now would be a great idea. And I was telling Dave Norsworthy invited me. And I was telling Dave, let's send Ron. Ron loves articles of incorporation. Ron loves the legal part, the part that we need king. We need kings. We need people who keep us out of. Listen, we love doing jail ministry, but we don't want to do it from the inside, okay? Because we're inmates then, didn't do jail ministry that way. Kings keep us out of that. We need rule. We need insurances. We need, you know, all those things. We need that. I'm not that guy. Not even a little bit. Don't want to be. Again, broken on God by, on purpose, broken by Him so that I am not the be all and end all. I've understood that. Ah, good. Now I can focus on prophet. Again, with a minor in priest. And if, as you know, your elders, you can almost say, okay, priest, yeah, prophet. No, he's not the king. Oh, king, yeah, priest, yeah. And you can almost, you know, see how it goes like that. And I think it's pretty obvious, my own self. But here's we go. Feed the flock, and I have to have the oversight. It's a Calvary Chapel thing. I'm the elder, I'm the chairman of the board. Don't want to be. We have business meetings. Quarterly, I think that's as few as I can get away with. We have some progressively over the phone. Okay, we bought a TV. Matt says, yeah, let's do, I think it was, I don't know, we were having that projector, and I said, I don't know, let's get some TVs. I think I started, I'm not sure. So Matt called Ron, even calls everyone, yeah, okay, yeah, that sounds good, you know, and we kind of have a biz meeting progressively over the phone as issues come up. I like it better that way. Sitting down, having a board meeting with minutes, Robert's Rules of Order, which thing I hate. Because you know what you got to do? You can't talk about something until you make a motion. So we make a motion and we talk about it. And it's almost like mean because somebody made the motion and we're kind of voting it down as we're talking about it. I feel like I'm I'm doing something bad. Well, they made a motion. Now we're talking bad about their motion. I hate Robert's Rules of Order. And Susan knows all about it because she was in the legislature for three terms. I asked her to sit on the board. She didn't have a vote because her last name's Kasperzak. Really. I don't want her to vote. I don't want her to have a, but she's got beautiful penmanship, and she knows Robert's Rules of Orders, and if we're going off track, she'll say, no, procedure, we got to do it, and I'm thankful I have her. Why? Because I'm not governor guy. I don't like government. I don't like business meetings. I don't like any of that stuff. But we have to determine, you know, we're going to support this ministry. Are we going to give money to this missionary? Are we going to, we have to at some point meet and talk about that. We're going to buy this. We're going to, you know, make this. So we need that. So, but my whole function is like, as elders, feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof. Got to do it. Says so here. Got to do it. Calvary Chapel says got to do it. But Calvary Chapel is biblical because that's what Peter's saying. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Got to talk about filthy lucre here. There's a lot of pastors who are in it for the money. That's all. No, workman's worthy of his wage. Paul says, you know, you don't want to muzzle an ox while he's treading out the grain. Imagine an ox, you know, pulling, you know, millstone. I know it was, yeah, a millstone over the, but he's muzzled. He can't eat. He gets skinny and then he passes out, flops over on his side. What did you do? We didn't let him eat any of the grain. That's a bad idea. That's not a good idea at all. I think in the poor ox saying, yeah, I tried to tell him. I would have talked to him, but I had a muzzle on. It's a bad idea all the way around. It's not a good idea at all. So it's a good thing to pay a pastor. It's a good thing. What do we do here? We don't, and it's kind of for a few reasons. I want to share with you. I'm just going to just open up my heart. You can say anything you want any later on. I have a job, a full-time job for which I'm well compensated for. If I'm collecting a salary here, it's like a drag shoot on the economy of the church. We're trying to build, we're trying to grow, we're trying to buy some things, we're trying to do ministry, we're trying to make, you know, change lives, and we're trying to, like, you know, be very generous to other ministries who, you know, we want to support, who have our same vision and who love Jesus as well. So we try to be generous, we try to give a lot of money away. It could be all about just paying the pastor. It could be that, but I don't want it to be that. Right now, the church is at such and such a place where I think I can do both. And some will say, well, you don't do either one very good. Well, that's debatable. You know, that's the subject for discussion. Recently, the church, again, the board has appointed me a housing allowance. And I was very, very thankful to receive that. Although I didn't put in for that and ask for that, I'm one person, one vote on the board, and I can be outvoted. I didn't get outvoted on this. They said, you, get out. I was like, all right. So I'm out, you know, and they kicked me out of my own board meeting. And they decided to do that. I was very, very happy. I appreciate that. I mean, I really appreciate that. Sue's is not working right now. Maybe permanently, if I have anything to say about it. She's like being a full-time pastor's wife. She's as busy as she's ever been. She's been in several of the schools teaching abstinence, things of this nature. She has an opportunity to visit, to fellowship, to do ministry, and she really enjoys that, and I really enjoy that because she was making some money, and now this is, you know, kind of compensation for that. At the same time that I got a raise at work, and I was thinking, okay, that's cool. You know, so God's taken... but this is what it's all about. You know, we did this for years without even a penny. We didn't get compensated for our gas. I certainly don't get compensated for my time. I spent an inordinate amount of time. My whole life changed when I picked up this mantle and said, yeah, I'm going to teach these people. I'm going to feed the flock. There's a lot of time that goes into preparing to teach the Bible, and none of it's compensated. Fair enough. Don't want it. Don't need it. I'm not saying this, I'm not trying to guilt anybody or anything like this. I just want to make this point. It's very important to me. I'm not in it for filthy lucre. I mean, I can make a lot of money, more money. I'm capable. I can do a lot of other things that can make more money than, I don't do this for money. We're not making money being here. We're for years we've been losing, and that's fine. That's fine, because it's what I want to do. It's what God's called me to do. Now, there's a lot of people that, you know, it's all about the money, okay? You know, hey, you got to do this. Oh, I've done my 40 hours this week. No, it needs to be done. I did my 40 hours a week. That's like 2 days' work. For 40 hours. Yeah, with your 40 hours. What do you mean you didn't do 40 hours? What? You mean you check out? You punch a clock? In the Gospel of John, Jesus calls that person a hireling. No, I'm never off the clock. Now, you want to call me at 2 in the morning for... Please make it an emergency, or it's going to be. okay? But I'm not off the clock. I'm full time. That's my thinking. It's like people say, "Well, you don't do this full time." What do you mean I don't do it full time? My thinking is I do it. I just have two full time jobs, and I'm still healthy enough I can do that. Maybe it's the time I say when I can't. But for right now, it's the way God's blessed, and I have a ready mind. Okay, it's not about the money. I just want to listen. I love you. Well, what happens if, like, you know, people say, "Oh, he's a good teacher. We'll give him this much money, and we'll." It's not about the money. I could send resumes around. You know, you got a big church, you got an opening. Well, have you considered me? I'll come. I'll preach. Susan's making a face. She's thinking about Gracie and Noah. We ain't going anywhere. Okay, she's like, that ain't happening. We'll go where God calls us when he calls us. I think that I'm going to be here until the rapture or death. That's what I think. It's never been about anything else. It's been about ministry. It's been about you. I'm rather fond of you at this point. I don't want to go anywhere. If it was about the money, I mean, yeah, there's places that probably pay more and stuff like that. And like I could get another job, you know, being full-time pastor, getting a lot of money. But that, if that's what it's all about, I mean, because it is about this for so many people. I've seen this. You know, they get out of Bible college and then they think like that everyone owes them a living. And then they just like, you know, oh, there's an opening here, and they all go for that and. Don't go for the big church with the big bucks. Build a church. That's my thinking, but I don't know. Neither is being lords over God's heritage. This is such an important verse for me personally. I don't talk my church. I don't talk my congregation. I don't even think in those terms. You're God's. Here's the thing. You know, Calvary Chapel, are you the senior pastor? I know what they mean. And I don't correct them. The question is no. God is. Jesus Christ is your senior pastor. This is his. It's blood bought. I don't want to lord over you. I don't want to control your life. I want to be a servant. I want to help. Can I do something to help? Because if it's all about me at the end of the day, then listen, if I go askew morally or teaching-wise, all the wheels come off the cart. You're all done. But if it's about Jesus, like you're saying, ah, that knucklehead, but you still worship God. You're still faithful to God. I think that's very, very important. It's not about me. It's not my church. I'm not even trying to build it. Struggled, and I finally, you know, Jesus said to me, I'll build my church. The gates of hell won't prevail against what I build. You can go ahead and try to build it, but you're at odds with me. I'm the builder. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was so much easier. I just, load off my plate. I thought I had to be the one. He's like, no, look at not as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples of the flock. That's always what I'm striving to be. I just want to be a good example. Elders there, they have to be a good example. My buddy Matt, I've already said stuff about him. He's going to be big head today. No, he's not. He's a very humble guy. Listen. I tell you, you want your children to grow up to be like Matt. And you all saying, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. He's a godly young man. Yeah, yeah. As elders here, we try to be a good example. Extra mile. Can elders buy lottery tickets? We don't have any rules on it. The answer is, you know, you and God work out details like that. Now, having said that, will you ever see me in a store buying a lottery ticket? Susan, they go, it ain't happening. No, I don't go the extra mile. I don't want to look like even slightly doing anything nefarious that will. You'll say, whoa, I thought Adam was a man of God here. Listen, I just want to be a good example, because when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. All you elders of your house, and you elderettes, God rewards faithfulness. He rewards moms. He rewards dads. You're just elder in your own situation. Will God reward that? I guarantee you, this is what that verse is saying. You know, not being lords over God's heritage, think of your children in that. They're only on loan. They're not going to be your children forever. I just want to tell you that. You know what I mean? And if that bursts your little bubble, I'm sorry. But it's a 18 to 20 year window where you're the shaker and mover in life. And you can see even at 13 and 14, that starts to lessen. 15, 16. At 16 and 17, you're battling over who's in charge and stuff like this. Listen, it's the Lord's heritage. And you're not Lord over his heritage. But you're an example to your little flock. They have your last name that look like little carbon copies of you. When the chief shepherd shall appear, does he know how to bless? Ah, yeah. You're going to receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Everyone does what I say. That verse says so. Listen, if the prophet's a prophet for hire, kill him, stone him. But if he's saying, no, this is what God says, and he can prove it, you should submit to what I'm saying, only what I'm saying in the Word. I understand this is what the Bible says. Do you have to submit yourself to that? Yeah, but here's the thing. All of you be subject one to another because you know the Bible too. And you can say to me, Adam, look, this is what the Word says. How about you? You might be right. It's not that I'm not considerate of the Word, but I don't know it all. And you may be right. You may point out something where I have to say, and I can only do that as I remain humble, as I try to be humble, and this we're going to say this, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Having dinner last night, me and Suze were with Norm and Sandy Labonte. He's the pastor of the Calvary Chapel over there, Safe Harbor he calls, but it's a Calvary Chapel. He's a Calvary Chapel pastor over there in Searsport. We're having dinner. And hey, how's it going? Oh, great. Far as I know, church is growing, things are going good. We're seeing redemption, seeing lives change. Praise God. And how's it going with you? Oh, great. You know, church is growing. We're seeing redemption, seeing lives change. We're seeing, you know, people grow and stuff. And we're like praising God about how good God is. And I said to him, I says, what's the one thing that could stop the whole shooting match? What's the one thing where everything comes to a screeching halt? What's the one thing where the train will come off the tracks and it'll be just a whole total mess? Because I want to know that. I want to know what he was thinking. I have my own thoughts as well. He said pride. I said, oh, it's just music to my ears. Now, I want you to know something. I'm going to come clean here, okay? I'm just going to be very, very honest. I'm a proud, arrogant man. You say, I don't really appear to be. How many people think I'm proud and arrogant? Go ahead and raise your hand. I won't bite. How many people? Good. No, thanks for being honest. How many of you guys think I'm humble? Okay, a couple more. How many guys don't ever vote when I ask you those questions? Yeah. Because you don't know. You don't know. You say, oh, I remember you. You call me proud. And listen, if I appear to you to be humble, you know what that is? I'm doing my best to try to be humble. I mean, I'm really, really working at humble. Okay? It's not easy because I'm arrogant. I'm very proud by nature. You know what I mean? I'm a proud, arrogant man by God's grace seeking humility. That's all I'll confess to. Now, if I say, well, I'm humble, guess what? I just go to the back of the line and have to start all over again. You can't say I'm humble. Yeah, it's on my resume. You put humble on your resume, that just proves you're not humble. You know, I'm really working at being humble. Why? God resists the proud. He gives grace. Listen, he's not going to wrestle me for the glory. Oh, fine. You want it to be all about you? Well, I'll see you later. I ain't going to show up there. I ain't going to work in that church anymore. I got to pursue humble. I got to pursue that really hard because that's God will bless that. I want him to bless. I want to show up and speak to a room full of nobody, you know, a little cricket chirp, and I want him to bless. I want the church to grow. How can that happen? Humble can happen. As I said, Chuck was a very humble man. What does he do? He just points people to Jesus Christ. I mean, people want to confer all this. You're great. You're awesome. Jesus. That's right. That's what I want to be. We're never so satanic as when we're proud. And how do you stay humble? A couple ways. Just a real assessment of who you are. I can't even take my next breath outside of God. I can't do anything. I know that. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Nothing special. Two, worship. Now I'm focused on the one who has done it all. And I realize as I exalt Jesus Christ, as I worship Him, as I magnify the name of the Lord, man, I am so nothing. He's so everything. He's so awesome. I'm so not. Now, with this in mind, I know some of you people, you're very, very gracious and you say really nice things. I don't do compliments really well. Most of you know this by now. I have a radio program. It's on 99.5, 7 p.m., 7 nights a week. Everyone up in Bangor hears me. So I run into people, oh, I was listening to you on radio the other day. And they generally, 99.9% of the time, say nice things. A couple of my close friends will say, that's Sue's voice at the beginning. I'll say, yeah. She does the voiceover, the fade in, the fade out at the end. Well, that's the best part of the program. I say, yeah, I know that. We know that. And that's good. Give me a zinger, keep me in my place. People say, oh, that was wonderful. People have said, a lady tell me, I plan my whole day around so I can listen at 7 o'clock. I'd be free to listen to you on the radio. I don't want to know that. I don't want to hear it. People are gracious. People are nice. And I don't, you know what the worst thing could happen is? People say, oh, you really got it going on. You think, and I start to listen. It's not good. It's not, I don't do compliments. Well, I know. People trying to be gracious, and I'm trying to keep my head screwed on straight. The one thing that will really, really just bring everything to a screeching halt. Yes. Yes, as a matter, you are so perceptive. I see you have the spirit of discernment on your life, sister. I really do have it going on. Thank you for noticing. If I'm ever that guy, even for a little bit, even ever, I think the Holy Spirit says, yeah, I'm going over here. Call me when you get normal. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. When God starts using you, don't pay it any mind. Will He use you if you're humble? Does He want to use you? Yes. Does He want to wrestle you for the glory? No. Is there a reason for you to be humble? I mean, to be proud? No. Is there a reason for you to be humble? Yes. Think it all through. He wants to use you, but He can use Balaam's donkey. Adam, does a donkey really talk? Yeah. Here, Sundays and Wednesdays. Just come and check it out. I mean, God can use anybody. He's called me not because I'm the smartest, not because I'm the brightest, not because I'm the most holy, not because I'm anything, but available. And He says, you, I select you. Not me. He says, yeah, you. I'm like, okay, fair enough. Do what you want to do. But it's not like, oh, wow, He picked me because He knows I got the goods. I can deliver it. I can. No, He calls me because He says, I can work through Him. And by the way, I really feel this way. I mean, I really, really feel this way. A lot of you saying, well, I can do that. I want you to think like that. I want you to do that. I can see us sending others out of here and start other churches. I could see that. I want you to do it in your neighborhood. I want you to do it on your job. I want you to do it at your home. I want you to do it in your sphere of influence. I could do that. That knucklehead can do it. I certainly can. I want you to think like that. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. When's the time? Well, let Him worry about that. Listen, we've got something happening in America right now called self-esteem. Just another word for pride. Just another word for pride. Okay? Self-love. Well, I can't really love anyone else until I learn how to love myself. That is demonic. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You guys, psychologists, you win that? My sister's taking that. I just want to say, you are demonic. I didn't say that because I'm very gracious, but, and we were, Maslow, hierarchy of needs. That was forged in hell. You do understand. Some of you guys are, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's forged in hell, okay? I studied that. I graduated, and that was my major. Hell was your major? Hell's theology? You majored in that? Oh, you got to repent. Oh, self-esteem. It's all about loving yourself. Listen, we talked about this at length. Jesus loves me. He's got that sewed up. He's got my back. Now I can focus on loving everybody else. He loves me because I'm wonderful. He loves me when I'm broken. God demonstrated his love to us in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not because you're anything but the object of his love. He loves you. He does love you. Okay? That's enough. You don't have to be all about yourself. Enough of this navel-gazing. Enough of this trying to promote yourself. Listen, I'm telling you, this is the key to happiness. Promote everybody else. It's all about others. It's all about, if you love God, how are you going to demonstrate that the best? By loving others. We've been over this and over this and over this. You love others, how are you going to demonstrate that the best? By loving God. These things go hand in hand. It's not about you. It's not about me. God resists the proud. He resists the proud, the guy up in the with the microphone talking in the front. He resists the proud, the guys in the chairs. He resists the proud. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Yes, Adam, I know what you mean. I'm very, very humble. No, you're not. But you are. You can pursue humility through the grace of God. Okay, let's stand. Matt will come. Send us out of here in song. Let's stand. Let's pray. Good gracious God, it's all about you. I would not touch what belongs to you. I don't want to lord it over anybody. I want it all to be about you all the time. Lord, we're obsessed with your glory. We love the name of Jesus Christ around here. We don't love to hear our own name very much at all. And if this message has found us wanting, if we've been weighed in the measure here and found wanting, help us to repent. Help us to turn that around, Lord. Help us to focus on you and your awesome glory. And maybe, Lord, we need to pray. Maybe we need to do business with you. Maybe we need to repent and just turn from ourselves and Lord, say, help us to be the men, the women that you've called us to be, Lord. To be all about you all the time. To glorify you in our lives. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.